We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Feel like Kobe in the fourth quarter.
This is the Dane Moore NBA podcast brought to you by Blue Wire Podcast. We are recording this Wednesday morning at 10:39 a.m. So if you're probably sitting there, Dane and Doogie, you just recorded right before the Wolves made a trade. But maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe we got lucky. Maybe the Wolves are still in neutral. And nothing's happened thus far, Doogie. I appreciate you coming on too. We were texting yesterday to texting about the nothingness, and you decided to come on and talk about the nothingness that has happened with the Wolves thus far this offseason. Darren Wolfson is obviously from KSDP, the Scoop podcast at Score North. How are you, Doogie? We were just talking about your life.
Well,
I know you got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, the personal life is all over the place. My brother-in-law, fully vaxxed, tested positive. My younger son goes to camp Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. So we navigate, my wife and I, Mondays and Fridays. And oftentimes he's hanging out at auntie and uncle's house, or he's hanging out at grandma's house, or he's hanging out at grandpa's house. Or we have a Manny that stops by, a Hopkins kid, by the way. So
there
you're
you
all here. We're in the Hopkins School District. So Hopkins High
School.
He hangs out with our boys from time to time. But anyway, on Monday, he's at my brother-in-law's house. Wasn't within 6 feet for 15 or more minutes. My brother-in-law wasn't feeling well, so he stayed upstairs, but he ends up on Tuesday testing positive. So now my younger son's camp, we were fully transparent. We told them, hey, you know, our younger son wasn't within 6 feet for 15 or more minutes, but was under the same roof. And so what do you want us to do? And they said, hey, you know, just to be safe, keep him home for 10 days. So yeah, we're navigating that. But hey, I've got time for that, Dane, because as far as I can tell, like, I even just got a text message. So I was curious. So Joe Branch is in the Wolves front office, former agent. What's his title? Official title, assistant general manager.
Assistant GM,
they have a few, they have a few assistant general managers. So I'm like, okay, Joe used to represent Danny Green. Would Danny Green appeal to the Wolves at all? I'm just trying to connect maybe some logical dots. I just got a text back. No, as of now, as we sit here at 10:41 a.m. on Wednesday morning, the 4th of August, as of now, the Wolves have not shown any interest in Danny Green. So I'm not entirely sure what the next move is. I do think, I mean, you laid it out brilliantly on your Twitter, some logical, you know, potential trade options. I don't know specifically, you know, who makes the most sense, but like, I think that's the path they're exploring, because I can just tell you, like, free agents, I don't know one free agent at the moment, and the board is, it's not like it's vast. Like, I checked on Enes Kanter this morning, nothing. There's nothing going on between the Wolves and Enes Kanter. I don't know who free agency-wise left would really appeal to the Wolves at this point.
Well, and, like, let's also take Gerson Rosas at what he said the whole time, which is, if we're going to change this roster, we're going to change it via trade. And, you know, that I think that's just kind of a reality when you go into the offseason, when you have, if you include Bomaro, you got 13 dudes under contract, barely under the luxury tax line, like, I mean, even myself included, I've been saying for a long time that, oh, I think like 2021 will be the summer where they like make a move, because the first 2 years you're getting off the Wiggins contract, you're getting off a Teague, Jang, whatever. Like, I've kind of come into this summer looking like months back being like, this is the time where it makes sense to kind of push your chips in around Cat. But now as we kind of get here and you see what the options specifically are that the Wolves have and what they're going up against, a lot of these contracts are very expensive. Guys going for more than we thought. It's like, yeah, I mean, it was always going to be a trade. And those are, you know, much easier said than done. So I don't know. When do you think, this is my question selfishly, when do you think something will happen? Like, how long do you think we are waiting into this? Is this with Vanderbilt, with all these guys? Like, do you think this is something that's a week, 10 days, 2 weeks? Like, what are we talking about here?
Well, I mean, selfishly, I'm hoping when you're on that airplane Saturday flying to Vegas for the Summer League, right? In that three-hour window, three-and-a-half, four-hour window, as you're navigating, you know, the TSA and going through baggage check and all that, that the Wolves do something Saturday, or I saw that you're at a wedding on Friday. Yeah. So let's
Jimmy
just
Butler
add
got
to
traded
that.
When I was at a wedding too. So that was
let's add to that narrative. I mean, you're right. I mean, it takes two to tango. Like, Dane, who the heck has trade interest in Juancho Hernan Gomez? Like, the Wolves would love to trade Juancho Hernan Gomez later today. Who the heck is taking Juancho Hernan Gomez? They would happily trade Jarrett Culver today. Who wants Jarrett Culver? I mean, that's the conundrum that they're in. The guys that they're making available don't really have much appeal, but
they're
guys
to Doogie,
do something.
Doogie, the guys they went and overpaid or overdrafted those guys, right? Like, not that there haven't been good moves as well, but Culver's an overdraft, right? In hindsight, Juancho paying him seven per, that was the word a year ago that, you know, that's going to have to click. Like, he's going to have to hit shots to be able to be worth that contract there. And even with Ricky, like, I know, and I would say that in a vacuum, the Ricky for Prince trade is a win, right? You get back a second round pick, you get off of that, but you signed up for that bad money a year ago by trading James Johnson's expiring for 2 years of Ricky Rubio. So it's a situation that they signed up for here in the first place, and now they're kind of digging themselves out of it, is what I feel.
Well, absolutely. Now, on the Ricky Prince trade in a vacuum, agree, but we've all been led to believe, not randomly, by the way, but we've all been led to believe that was the start, that there's some other move coming. So where is that next move? That's where it's a slippery slope. And like, Ben Simmons was always a long shot. John Collins, I mean, once Atlanta went on the run they went on, you know, like, does John Collins have fans here in the Minnesota front office? 100%. The Wolves For sure. would love to have John Collins. He re-ups this morning, 5 years, $125 million. Atlanta's in win-now mode. I mean, after Atlanta goes on the run, they go on. They had every reason to pay him. Like, who's left? Lauri Markkanen? Well, our mutual buddy Brian Windhorst said this morning that the Spurs didn't have interest in a sign-and-trade with DeMar DeRozan because Lauri's looking for a huge number. I take that to mean north of $15 million a year, maybe closer to $16, $17, $18 million a year. Do you really want to pay Lauri Markkanen $16, $17 million a year? Plus, oh, by the way, until I hear otherwise, I don't think the Bulls have sign and trade interest in Hernan Gomez, in Culver. You know, I mean,
how do you match that? Yeah.
Chicago needs front court help, right? Like, if you're Lauri, would you maybe bet on yourself, sign the restricted tender and then hit the open market a year from now when many more teams will have cap space? I mean, I'm looking at the landscape of Chicago's roster. They need maybe a wing defender. They need some front court help. Like, I don't know, with Jake Layman. I mean, the Wolves would trade Jake Layman, but I don't know. Does Chicago want Jake Layman? I mean, that's what we're talking about, Dane. Like, that's where it's a really tough path to acquire any sort of needle mover. Like, you know, with all due respect to Prince, he's not moving the needle, right? Mm-hmm. And I like you, I thought this might be the summer where they made a needle-moving type transaction. But at this point, I'm struggling to see what that move will be.
Well, okay. Can I say this? Like, I think there is a difference in making a needle-moving move that is justifiable. Like, you could find a way to justify shelling out multiple picks, in my opinion, for a Ben Simmons, a John Collins, a Miles Turner. That, because that is going to, you know, really discernibly move the needle. I would, on the other hand, if it becomes something like, you know, if it was Danilo Gallinari and you're really just getting 1 year of him and then he kind of moves on, it's kind of a rent-a-player thing. Or the only way I would possibly see Markkanen is if his whole market sort of crumbles and he signs like a 1 year mid-level thing to get back on the market again in another year. So if the Wolves, like if the Wolves did that with Gallinari or Markkanen, not to mention they can't guard, so that's not going to help the Wolves at all in that way. But if it's a 1 year rental, I don't think that would be justifiable for the Wolves to, why would you give up a first round pick for one of those guys to be able to, you know, to move your win total by three wins next season only to watch them walk in a year? Like, I think, not to give like Rosas in the front office credit, but I would give them credit for not making that move if it was on the table, because I don't think that would be, I'm not into the idea of trading a future first for somebody who's going to just be a 1 year rental, and they haven't done that. So like the silence, I think for the fan base is very frustrating, but at the same time, you don't want Rosas to be scrambling to make a win now move that seems to be something motivated by trying to protect his job. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. And I do think that pressure exists, by the way. I can't quantify exactly to what extent, but that pressure is absolutely there, especially with Alex and Mark coming on board. I'm with you. I would not give up a first-round pick for a one-year guy. I mean, to me, if you're giving up a first-round pick, and it probably would involve a first-round pick if you end up doing a sign-and-trade with Chicago for marketing. To me, you need to get marketing under contract for at least 3 years. I wouldn't even give
up. Yeah, at a sign-and-trade, if it is a sign-and-trade, it would have to be,
Well, and that's right, with the rules, right? It would have to be at least three anyway. So, you know, maybe you could talk me into giving up a future first, but maybe it's recency bias too, Dane. Like, last Thursday, it hit me. When I'm looking at the board, and I know you're big on the Kuminga bandwagon, I've heard enough good things. I'd be lying if I told you I studied his game closely, but, you know, texting with some people in the league, I heard a lot of good things about the potential of Kuminga. Like, it hit me as I'm sitting there watching the draft. And I went on the record at the time saying I was in on Wiggins future first for Russell, that they should have made that move. But I'm just telling you, last Thursday, like, it was hard to watch as I'm watching it unfold. And there's pick seven. And whether it's Kuminga or somebody else, it hit me pretty good. I'm like, gosh darn it, I wish the Wolves had that pick. You know, well, so that's where I'm reluctant. Like, Ben Simmons, yes, sign me up. I would give up multiple firsts for a guy with 4 years left. And I know there's people that will listen to this saying, you're nuts, I can't stand Ben Simmons, why do you think Ben Simmons would be a good fit here? But I'm just telling you my own opinion. I would give up multiple firsts if you could end up with Ben Simmons. You know, so I'm not anti-giving up a first, but I would be reluctant, you know, on certain guys. And I don't know, I'm on the fence on Lowry. Maybe I should go all in one way or another. I mean, that's what we do. We give our opinion. You know, you don't need to agree with it if you don't want to. But, you know, maybe I should go one way or the other. But I'm on the fence whether I'd even give up one future first-round pick for 3 years of Markkanen.
What's your defensive plan, right, if you do that? Britt has given me a hard time over the years. I really liked when we were just like watching Markkanen his rookie year at Target Center and stuff. I was like, I like this dude. Like, I think he's going to be a player in the league.
Well, that was Tibbs' guy, remember? I mean, if they had stayed at that pick, right, Tibbs and Layden were going to take Markkanen.
But he just, I mean, whether it's, you know, turnover in Chicago, I mean, you can put blame on a lot of reasons why Markkanen hasn't done anything really through 4 years in his career. But at the end of the day, he's a guy you're putting on whatever team for offense to be an elite shooter. And yeah, sure. Like, would the Wolves have nasty shooting if they had Markkanen and Kat? Like, of course, that'd be probably the best shooting front court in the league. But this all comes back to, like, what are your needs here? Like, what does this team actually need to move the needle? There's more efficient ways to do it. I will also say that, like, I haven't heard anything on the Wolves actually being in on Markkanen in the weeks leading up to the draft, like, or the leading up to free agency. I'm surprised that I've seen little nuggets come out there from guys like you and Scotto and whoever talking about the Wolves having interest there. And my theory is just that the Wolves have put out feelers on literally every power forward. So if you're one of us and we hit up their agent, they're like, yeah, the Wolves have, you know, touched base. I would like to think that the Wolves would assess Lauri Markkanen in the context of this roster and go, you know, maybe we'll be awesome at offense, but it's the same old story. Like, are they going to guard at all? And I think, to me, the answer would be no.
Well, no. I mean, he's a minus defender. I do like the idea, though, of Markkanen with offensive mastermind Chris Finch. I do like the idea of that unbelievably, you know, high shooting percentage front court with him and Kat. And if you're the Wolves, you know, like, you're just trying to jump up a little bit, right? Like, can you find a way into the play-in tournament? Like, that would be a pretty significant step forward. Even if you're one and done, just playing one meaningful game at the end of the season, that would be a pretty big deal this year. So, I mean, from that standpoint, Markkanen would help. Yeah, I mean, guilty as charged that I put it out there that the Wolves have at least, you know, they've had contact with Markkanen's agent. But
oh, that's real.
I hope I'm not ramping up, you know, the fan base thinking, oh, that means we're getting Markkanen. Like, no, there's still a long way to go to get to that point. The Wolves don't have the cap space to make him an offer that Chicago wouldn't match. Mm-hmm. Chicago's not interested as of now in hurting Gomez, Culver, you know, some of these bit pieces. The Wolves are not moving Jaden McDaniels, I don't think, at least for Lauri Markkanen, nor should they. We know Anthony Edwards is not going anywhere. We know Karl Anthony Towns isn't going anywhere. So, like, what's the match? When you look at Chicago's roster, I don't really see the sign and trade match there for Markkanen. But you're right. I mean, they've planted enough seeds, you know, both trade market wise with agents. Although I continue to hear like no on some guys. Like, I was even curious. I saw Tony Bradley signed a 1-year deal with Chicago. He's a big man, so I thought, hey, maybe
could
the Wolves
use one of those
tires. No, I mean, the Wolves were not in on Tony Bradley at all. And so, like, I've gotten a lot of that, a bunch of no's. Holmes ends up back with Sacramento. So I thought, you know, with the Wolves, maybe if, you know, tried, even though there really wasn't a logical path to actually acquiring him, but would they have at least inquired? No. I mean, the Wolves, they never even made a phone call on Holmes. So there are some guys that they haven't reached out on.
You know, what's tricky for us is even like, who do we aim at? You know, who do we even start? Because you got to guess a little bit of like who would make sense. And it's normally we can just look at a free agent list, right? And be like, oh, these are the guys who are free agents. Which ones would fit? Which guys might have they had interest in? Well, if they're actually doing what Rose has said, we're now talking about a universe of players that are under contract that is hundreds of players deep, right? And like, that's why If I think of a subsequent move does happen, it'll kind of be like Taurean Prince, where you're like, oh, it's a guy who's under contract, right? None of us said a whisper about Taurean Prince anytime in the leading up months. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, there's not, it's hard to pin it down. We can kind of guess which salaries match and this and that, but there's a lot of dudes in the league who make around as much money as Taurean Prince. It's the whole, they could trade Taurean Prince for somebody as cheap as $8 million and as high as $18 million. I don't know. There's probably, 80 guys in the league who make that much money?
Yeah, but you know it better than I do. You have the spreadsheet in front of you. But, yeah, I mean, it's many guys. I mean, frankly, you know, we thought if there was any transaction, any trade happening with Cleveland, we thought it would involve Larry Nance.
Right. Yeah.
And I can tell you, Dane, they actually have not asked about Larry Nance Jr. in the last few weeks. Yeah, last year, 100%, they had trade interest in Nance Jr. Maybe they know
that's because the price is too high.
Well, maybe the price is too high. They probably have the intel that JB Bickerstaff, others with Cleveland, they love Nance Jr. But they haven't even inquired. You know, that's unlike Gersan. Like, Gersan, at least, you know, I mean, he likes to go. Not that Nance is a star, but he likes to go, you know, star hunting, star chasing. Mm-hmm. You know, plants a lot of seeds. Like, I would have expected Gersan to at least inquire about Nance Jr., but like, I have it on pretty good intel. No, like, he hasn't asked about him at all the last few weeks.
Let's take a quick break, and then I want to talk about the guys that they can bring back to the roster.
You know, Liberty Mutual Insurance customizes car insurance so you only pay for what you need. You know what? Honestly, that's all we really want, you know, fairness. We want it in sports, we want it in life. That's why all sports we love have rules. That's why we have offsides, so players don't float down the field or the ice and get cheap breakaways. That's why there are foul poles, sidelines, and out of bounds. In sports, the goal of fairness is built right in. Life doesn't work that way, as we all know, but Liberty Mutual is trying to make insurance work that way. That's what only paying for what you need is all about. And you know, when you do that, you can also save a lot of money. So switch and save when you customize your car and home insurance with Liberty Mutual and only pay for what you need. What's more fair than that? Way to go, Liberty Mutual. This message was brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company. Visit libertymutual.com to learn more.
So Doogie, as you say that about the maybe Gerson not being quite as proactive in the whatever, the whole offseason market this year in ways, I think that's another kind of tea leaf in the direction of, you know, this roster is really full. And maybe the ultimate offseason path is like, yeah, they got their eye open on trades and are willing to listen and pursue guys. They're willing to think about mid-level options and that sort of thing. But ultimately, like, are we just talking about an offseason where it's Jared Vanderbilt and that's it? Like, is that a possibility?
Well, sure. I mean, they met with Jared on Monday in Los Angeles. It was Finch, Rosas, Branch, and it was one other guy from the front office. It wasn't Gianluca, so who else would have been? It was Branch, and it was, yeah, Sachin Gupta. So It was the four of them. They met with actually Jordan McLaughlin right when free agency kicked off, and then eventually transitioned to a meeting with Vanderbilt. They're not close, by the way, on anything with Vanderbilt at the moment. But, yeah, I mean, I think Jared Vanderbilt is on this roster.
So what does that mean when you say they're not anywhere close?
Well, I mean, Gerson loves to offer contracts with multiple team options.
Yeah,
I just don't think Jared right now is interested in signing a contract with multiple team options. Frankly, the same applies to Jordan McLaughlin. Now, do I think McLaughlin is open-minded to signing a deal with maybe one team option? Yeah, I wouldn't rule that out. But two team options, probably not. But, yeah, I mean, they met with both those guys Monday, expressing pretty strong interest in getting both those guys locked up. So, yeah, I mean, maybe it is just them. Maybe some other move materializes somewhere down the road, but not in the next, you know, 48, 72, 96 hours over the next week or so. They may also look at it, Dane, this may be idiotic, but they may look at it and say, okay, full year Chris Finch, let's find a way to maintain health, the durability of D'Angelo Russell, Karl Anthony Towns, Malik Beasley. You know, we feel like Jaden McDaniels year two is going to be that much better. Anthony Edwards year two is going to be that much better. Let's just kind of run this thing back through with a full year of Finch leading the way.
See, the problem with that is that that's not necessarily an illogical stance to take. I think you could justify that. I think the problem is, and what they'll run into with the fan base, is that all their noise for years since Rosas has got here has been like, we're not going to do that stuff. We're going to go, go, go. We're going to attack, right? We're going to be the most aggressive team. We're going to be doing all those sort of things. So it's not that that's dumb. Again, like I was saying before, like, don't make a win now move to move the needle like three wins. That's justifiable. But you've been hinting at the idea that that's the stuff that you're going to be doing. So from a fan base standpoint, with people you're trying to put butts back in the seats at Target Center, with people you're trying to get excited to come to this hoops after dark thing, flip style that they're having, like, what are people going to be thinking on Friday night at that thing when literally the extent of their offseason moves have been signing two guys to two ways? I mean, that's the hard part of it. It's not that that's a bad tactic. I just think you're going to have a lot of fans like up in arms over this. And I don't know, maybe that doesn't really matter. But in the context of Minnesota, when you're trying to engage a fan base, you're trying to convince the ownership that we got something good moving in the right direction. I think that's the tough part.
Heck, you're trying to negotiate a new local TV contract, right? True. And so interest, you know, that all ties together. You're right. Uber competitive sports marketplaces, you're trying to sell tickets if you're the Wolves. And it's not just Gerson. I mean, Glenn Taylor, you know, in a couple different interviews going back, you know, a handful of weeks, you know, more like, you know, May-ish. But he said, hey, like our path is we're going to be, you know, chasing the trade market pretty significantly. And Gerson, I mean, not only doubled down, I mean, he tripled down. I mean, it was numerous interviews where Gerson hinted at trades. And I guess he executed the one. But, yeah, I get it that the fan base, if this is it, it's It's incredibly underwhelming. I also think, though, it's probably not from a lack of effort that they're trying, but, like, Philadelphia just doesn't want what the Wolves are willing to offer. Like, if the Wolves want to put Anthony Edwards on the table, okay, you can get Ben Simmons. But, you know, the Wolves, rightfully, thankfully, are not going to do that. You know, so, you know, like, what's that happy medium? I'll also say I hope that fans can sift through some of that noise. Like, how long has Gerson talked about family? Like, almost creating the sense that they're holding hands singing Kumbaya over at Mayo Clinic Square, which is a bunch of BS. I mean, just look at the last few weeks with Dr. Robbie leaving, with Zarko Duricic. They offered him a BS contract. He said no. He's been in the organization forever. Beloved. Like, this incredibly likable guy, he's now gone from the front office. I've mentioned this, Dave, maybe you've heard the same thing, that there is a front office member. I won't name the individual, but there's a front office member that has a nice offer from a Western Conference team, would like to get out of the contract with the Wolves, but is under contract for one more year, so the Wolves are blocking that move. So, like, I don't think morale is real high over there right now. I'll leave it at that. Now, I will give Gerson credit. I talked to Gerson a few days before the draft. I did one of these Zooms with him, one-on-one. That, yeah. And so I said, hey, you know, I brought that up. And I thought he gave me a pretty candid, good answer. You know, I mean, he's scripted in so many ways. You know, he knows how to play the game in interviews. But I thought he gave me a pretty honest answer where he said, hey, after two underwhelming years, you know, me being here, this front office, now granted, not an 82-game schedule either year, but two underwhelming years, not that 82 would have made any sort of difference, but two underwhelming years, like, yeah, there's some bitterness over here. There's people that aren't happy. Like, we need to turn this thing around. So I appreciated his brutal honesty in that instance, but I'm just telling you, that's another example when they're talking about this family atmosphere. Make no mistake about this. It's a business. Oftentimes it's a cruel business. Yeah, I mean, they can talk family all they want, but bottom line is finding a path to winning. Who cares about the family, this, that, you know, taking guys out to Lake Minnetonka, wining and dining them, you know, all the social media stuff, you know, with the Minneapolis Lakes, you know, in the summer, guys being in town, you know, all the outdoor training and all that. Give me a break on that. Like, that's so contrived. And so I hope, I really do, that enough fans, maybe not all, you know, many just, you know, they can't see through it, but I hope
Doogie, I think people can see through that, man. Yeah, it's a unique fan base in the sense that
very, like, unique, yes,
that there aren't a ton of casual Timberwolves fans who maybe some of that, you know, more of that type of messaging would work with. The sense I get, and obviously I don't have a roster of the entire Timberwolves fan base, but I think they're generally speaking a group of people who are digging into the weeds a little bit here and remembering, oh, you know, you said this and what did it lead to? And I mean, you're totally right. There are front office relationships that need to be mended. There is a whole bunch of personality stuff that needs to be taken care of there too. But, you know, I think to the point about the fan base, they also remember draft night 2019, when before the draft even started, you traded the number 11 pick and Dario Saric to move up to 6 hours before the number 6 pick was there. And you're like, all right, you know, it was this move that was going to lead to something, maybe Darius Garland. And then that doesn't.
Not maybe, like, Dane, that was their guy.
Yeah.
And so that's, like, that's a trade you make when you're on the clock to see if Garland's on the board.
But right? That's what, like, I'm saying is
they didn't think Cleveland was going to take Garland. That was absolutely their guy. Like, they wanted Garland so badly.
They do that, though, where they make these moves and maybe it's like they get a better deal by incurring some risk that it might, if by doing it hours before, you know, same thing. I would say the same thing with this Ricky Rubio trade, and you're doing it well before you can or even will make any corresponding moves. And when the corresponding move doesn't come together, it's like, wait, what was the point of this in the first place? Even waving Rondae Hollis-Jefferson last year. I know that seems really small, but the idea, the thing I pumped, because the thing I was told was like, hey, it creates this financial flexibility that maybe we can use to get a PJ Tucker, right? And like at this point, it's just getting a little boy who cried wolf, right? Where you're like, okay, you know, I've heard this. I've patiently listened to the options it might have been. I've searched for those sort of things. But what happened, man? Jarrett Culver happened with that. What happened with the Rondae Hollis-Jefferson? They didn't add anybody to the roster the whole year. What, you know, what's going to happen with this Ricky Rubio, Torian Prince trade? Like, again, in a vacuum, I think it makes sense. You get a second, you create some space. But what if you don't do anything with that space? Was that second round pick worth the difference in quality of player between Ricky Rubio and Torian Prince? I don't know. Yes, maybe Torian plays more a position of need, but it's just this sequence of things where you go, I understand there was a plan and there was option. It was an option tree of the plan. But what, you know, what ultimately came together for that? And that's what's, you know, I think that's what's tough for the fan base, is they're like, here we still are. And nothing of really meaningful value has come to fruition.
And hopefully nothing's happened in the last 25 minutes since we've been talking. I haven't gotten any sort of text message. Yeah. So hopefully we're good over the last 25 minutes. I think the ultimate gut punch right now is Rubio, right? Like, who doesn't love Ricky Rubio? You know, then you're watching him in Tokyo. He looks to be in phenomenal shape. He's putting 38 on the board.
The other night, man. Like, it's insane.
Ricky's the unicorn, right? Like, seriously, do you know anybody, Dane, that doesn't love, forget like, love Ricky Rubio? So I think that trade, you know, you bring him back, you celebrate his return, and then he's gone. Snap of the fingers.
Well, that now, goes to the family
thing. I hope people look at the contract and say, yeah, like, what'd you think? He was going to be here for 3 or 4 years. But, right. Like, I wonder if the Rubio trade has put some people over the top because they love him so dearly.
I think, though, I was kind of on draft night and, you know, whatever, it's just like finger to the wind. I didn't feel like people were too upset with that, which kind of surprised me because I think Ricky Rubio is the second most popular Timberwolves player of all time. I don't think it's close. But, like, Ricky Rubio didn't play well last year. I mean, kind of at the end of the year, under Finch, it made more sense, but Rubio looked so slow at the beginning of last season.
He was out of shape. I mean, I imagine COVID kept his butt for a long time. Yeah, I mean, he said as much. Yeah, but, I mean, he's back now. I mean, I can watch the games, you know, with Spain. I mean, you know, and I get it's a different game, the international game and all that, but he looks to be in really good shape right now. Put it this way. I know that Cleveland is super, super pumped to have him.
Yeah, it's an interesting move on the Cleveland side of it, right? Of like, again, they're doing the opposite thing where they're locking into a guy before free agency starts and not even trying to go after another point guard or another player at all. I mean, Ricky gets paid a lot. Like, Ricky gets paid a lot for his production, even if you think, like, some of Spain version is gonna come over. So I think it's interesting. I don't think that was necessarily a bad trade there, but again,
no, but I think where the gut punch, what I'm alluding to right now is now days later, okay, maybe enough fans understood the trade at the time last Thursday, but that they were expecting something here in the first, you know, 48 to 72 hours of free agency, and that hasn't come to fruition, and that's maybe where the frustration lies. Like, if the Wolves had completed some other move, which we all have been expecting, okay. You know, I think a lot of people would have been like, all right, now I get it. I see what they did moving Rubio to Cleveland. But as we sit here, you know, Wednesday morning, that move has not happened.
And then they finalized it too, which was very surprising to me.
Yeah, I saw your note on that. Now, I wonder if Cleveland forced their hand on that. And
they did.
You know, they wanted, I'm sure they did. And, you know, they wanted to have the flexibility they could get. And so, you know, because Cleveland said, we need to do this now, they said, hey, we're not going to wait a couple extra days.
Can you help me in asserting the notion that Torian Prince is not a lock to be on this roster next season at
all? Well, and who's a lock? Dane, who's a lock? Ant's okay. A lock. Cat's a lock. I don't really think they could move D'Angelo Russell, frankly. Like, unless you've heard
I
otherwise.
I don't think they should.
I mean, maybe there's one team that would take him. I don't think it's much beyond that. Maybe two, but most of the league doesn't want D'Angelo Russell. I think Russell's a lock.
And if that's the perception, you don't want to trade him at that point. Because if D'Angelo Russell plays as well as he did the last 22 games of the season, the first 22 games of the season, the first 44 games of the season, we're talking about a completely different valuation of the way his 2 years and like $65 million left on his contract is. Like, that it is what it is with D'Lo. Like, if you even if you even want to consider the possibility of trading him, you need to recoup his value, you know, to some degree that it would be attractive. So I don't even really consider him when I'm playing around trade machine in my head. Like,
I don't
he's
either.
Part of this.
I just know that when they talked to Philadelphia a few weeks ago, they made it abundantly clear that Ant is off limits, Cat is off limits. They did not necessarily say D'Lo by name, but Philadelphia doesn't want D'Lo. But yeah, could they maybe, if they wanted to trade D'Lo, could they? They might have to attach a future first round pick. And that's where it's just, you're right. It doesn't make any sense for any of us to concoct these D'Lo trade ideas. Okay, so D'Lo is here. I think Jaden McDaniels is here unless that superstar trade comes about, but like
Jaden McDaniels will have to be in a trade if the Wolves are going to get.
Yeah, so that's why I can't tell you with 100% certainty. You know, so I think it's pretty much three guys, maybe four. Otherwise, Beasley, if some team wants Beasley, okay, sure. Prince, yes. Lehman, Hernan Gomez, Culver, Okogie, who you were hanging out with last night at Minnehaha Academy. Like, yeah, if some team wants them, sure. Why not? You know,
it's just not a roster of a lot of positive assets.
Any other guys, Dane? They're just not. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, and Bomaro's going to come over, and, you know, if they had to throw him into a trade, I think they probably would. Like, they're married to two guys, essentially, and a third guy that it doesn't look like they're going to move that contract. So, anyone else, look at the roster. Anyone else, Gersan would move in a heartbeat.
The last two things I had on my list that I wanted to run by you are the two-way guys. And Timberwolves ownership. Just quickly, I don't know if you have anything on McKinley Wright or Nathan Knight. I watched McKinley Wright at the Pro-Am last night, talked to him a little bit. His shot looked awesome. I think he made like 7 threes in the game. And I was like, I mean, you follow Minnesota high school basketball way more than I do. And I'm not sure you have a relationship with Ken, you know, going back a ways. I know this is boring stuff to Timberwolves people. We're talking about two ways, but I'm, you know, cautiously optimistic about that. I'm interested to see what he does at Summer League. Nathan Knight, I just, you know, I don't know. I watched some Hawks games at the beginning of the year when he was in the rotation. I was just texting somebody about him actually a couple of days ago. Because I've just been in my head like, when are the Wolves going to bring in an athletic five? Like an athletic big who, you know, who can, you know, really be that, you know, that springy five who can defend the rim a little bit, who can catch a lob pass. I was like digging down to the bottom of the barrel to Nathan Knight, but I actually liked Nathan Knight in the time I watched him last season. So I'm kind of into the what they landed on for the two-way contracts. Again, I understand that's not sexy, but I thought those two names were interesting.
I agree. The fact that you did any sort of dive on Nathan Knight a few days ago is why
it's actually sad.
It might be sad, but it's why
I swear I texted somebody like 3 days ago.
Oh, I believe you. Oh, I absolutely believe you. So that's why I love following everything that you're putting out. Cause yes, I don't doubt that one bit. So yeah. So Hoopsype had the note yesterday on Knight. So credit to them for the initial scoop. He wasn't on my radar at all. I saw the tweets and then I started reaching out to some people so I can advance what they had out there a little bit. It's a 1 year, not a 2 year two-way. They beat out the Thunder and the Warriors. So Oklahoma City and Golden State also made Knight a two-way offer. The Wolves won, you know, that little recruiting process. Yeah, I mean, from what I've seen from you, you know, the fact that he played in 33 games last year for Atlanta, it's a two-way. Yeah, I mean, good roll of the dice. I like it. And then, yeah, my bias toward McKinley, having done stuff on him going back to his days at Champlain Park, ultimate leader, you know, they don't make him any tougher than McKinley. Like you, my colleague Chris Long was there.
Yeah, I talked to Chris last night. Yeah.
Yeah. So Chris also talked to McKinley pregame. McKinley told us there were scenarios, and he may have told you the same thing, that if he wanted to get drafted, like I'm pretty sure Charlotte had interest in drafting him, that he could have been drafted, but he was still going to sign a two-way. It was get drafted, hear your name called, but have to sign a two-way contract, or choose where you get to go as an undrafted free agent and sign a two-way contract. So
which is the same thing as Naz Reid. That was the same situation with
absolutely.
Naz Reid.
Absolutely, yes. If Naz Reid wanted to get drafted, he could have been drafted in 19. So anyway, McKinley had three offers. I don't know who the other two were from. I had heard some interest from the Brooklyn Nets, but I don't know if they made an offer
too. Yeah.
In the end. I can check on that, but that's not that big of a deal. But the Wolves beat out a couple teams for McKinley. Yeah, I mean, you look at his numbers at Colorado, you get some feedback from how he did in some of the workouts. Like down in San Antonio, he went one-on-one against Davion Mitchell, who I watched a little bit on ESPN2 last night, Summer League. That other Summer League is taking place. Looked like it was in the Kings home arena. I watched him on Mitchell last night against the Warriors. You know, and he was, what, a top 10, top 11 pick, number 9 overall, whatever it was. Wow. My buddy Jared Nunes, I think you know Jared, right?
Yep.
You know, Jared's done at Baylor, and Jared's biased, but, you know, Jared thinks Mitchell's going to be a big-time NBA player for a long time, certainly on the defensive end. But he can certainly be a rotational guy, you know, for a while, and hopefully a rotational guy on a good team. And I'm told McKinley held his own in that workout. He had 14 workouts total. I got some feedback when he did the workout here. Although the workout here was unique, you know, with them not playing 5-on-5, it was 3-on-3, some 1-on-1, it was some combine testing. I think in the end, like 24 or 25 teams had a scout here, but, you know, pretty much every team sent a lower level guy. It's not like Daryl Morey came to town for that group workout a few weeks ago, but I'm told McKinley, you know, he held his own. There weren't, you know, great players there. Aaron Henry was there from Michigan State. I know the Wolves actually made Aaron Henry a two-way offer. So that's a guy they lost out on. They tried to get Aaron Henry, the former Spartan, on a two-way, but he ultimately chose Philadelphia, not Minnesota. But yeah, I mean, I like it. Now, you know, if one wants to argue, why not wait? Is it still only two-ways, or did the NBA?
Two. Yeah, it's still two.
Did I forget that they added a third? There was some talk of them adding a third two-way, but yeah, it's only two per team. So I guess you could have argued, why not wait through Summer League? You know, see if there's a guy that impresses you in Vegas, then make that second two-way offer. But I've heard enough good things now and read your coverage of Nathan Knight that I'm fine with that. Like, I'm cool with that. So, yeah, the two-way moves they've made, yeah, I think both are moves. Yeah, thumbs up.
Right.
I mean, you know, going back to, you know, needle-moving type moves, no, those are not needle-moving type moves. You know, the local angle is cool, but I think the Wolves would have been on McKinley, right, if – you know, he was from Paducah, Kentucky. Like, you know, just an added bonus that he's from Robbinsdale, went to Champlain Park High School. You know, but like, you know, his production in the Pac-12, you know, they would have taken him, you know, regardless of, you know, where he's from. So, yeah, for those two moves, cool. Great. Yeah, I have no problem. You know, they'll be playing for the Iowa Wolves, I'm sure, a bunch. I'll be curious to see who Iowa hires as a head coach. Apparently, they've interviewed some candidates. I don't have any names, unfortunately, but – they're making progress in hiring a head coach for the Iowa Wolves. Those two guys.
Watch a Houston tie on that one.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. No, no denying that. That's where, like, you look at some of the remaining free agents, like, you know, Hartenstein, you know, there's a Houston connection there. So they know all about him. The Wolves haven't shown interest to this point in him, but if they need some roster filler in a couple of weeks, he's still out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's an obvious connection with him. So, yeah, always. Yeah, I mean, always look at the Houston connection.
And very lastly, just because I don't think you and I have talked about this much, where are you just at A-Rod and Laurie right now? And your kind of read on what they're going to be able to kind of bring to this team here in the coming years? When does that start happening? That's kind of my biggest question is I know Laurie particularly is in the mix right now. I'm kind of curious as to when he gets some autonomy there. Where are you just at on A-Rod and Laurie? I feel like that story has kind of started to slow down a little bit in our local news cycles.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we're still viewed as, you know, across the league as flyover country. So to bring on that celebrity appeal of in particular, Alex Rodriguez, like, I don't think that's a bad thing. He certainly has some connections in the league, like him and Bradley Beal. Not that Bradley Beal is coming here anytime soon, but A-Rod and Bradley Beal are pretty darn close. So yeah, but like I'm most fascinated, Dane, to see how those two go from, okay, they're in at 20%. How exactly are they getting to 60% over the next couple of years? Like where is that money coming from? They think they're going to be able to get there. The Wolves certainly think they're going to be able to get there, but I'm just curious to see how that unfolds. They go from 20% ownership at the moment to by December of 2023 having 60% ownership.
Which is, to put an actual dollar figure on it, each 20% is about $250 million. So they got to get to 750 over 2.5 years to have a majority ownership in this, you know, a majority stake in this team, which, you know, all indications are the word is that, you know, they're going to, you know, they're going to get there. They're going to do that. I mean, I've been somebody who has, I don't know, maybe just be a cynical person, have been skeptical about the whole sort of process. But in actually talking to some people, I talked with Mark Lurie a couple weeks back, and I do think that, you know, I think he's sharp. I think he's going to come in, and I don't think this is going to be an ownership situation where they just kind of sit at the top and, you know, the CEO and Pobo kind of make all the decisions. Like, that is who Mark Lurie is he's, you know, he's a private equity guy. He comes in and puts his fingers on what he believes needs to, you know, to change. And I think that's ultimately a good thing, right? Like, maybe he'll make some mistakes. I know I was talking to John Kay about it. It's like, you know, historically, owners maybe get a little overzealous at the beginning. They make some mistakes, being a little, you know, a little, I don't know, go for it a little too much early on in the game, and maybe that comes back to bite them. But I think at the end of the day, a different, you know, different type of ownership, a different style of owner is something this organization needs. And they, you know, they got a lot of battles ahead of them in the coming years in terms of Cat's contract coming to an end, Ant re-signing him eventually. I mean, that stuff is, I know this is stuff like 3 years down the road, but Ant's set to start a new contract the same year Cat would start a new contract. We're probably on that similar timeline for a new stadium, or like to really get stuff working there. I mean, that is stuff that ownership plays a huge role in. And I'm fascinated to see what Mark Lurie and Alex Rodriguez do to impact that.
Well, I'm fascinated too. The elephant in the room is what you just hit on at the very end, Target Center. What's the future of Target Center? The potential of a new arena? What happens when Alex and Mark go to the right people and say, okay, yeah, Target Center is not working as is. It's a bottom five arena in the league. I mean, that's another fascinating angle. But yeah, I mean, I haven't talked to Mark yet, so that's great that you've established that relationship. But what
I can gather, he's an interesting dude.
I mean, I don't think you make the money he's made off, you know, an online diaper business, for example, without being like incredibly good at what you do, mm-hmm. right? But we also need to expect a learning curve. Owning a sports franchise is not like, you know, running an online diaper company. It's just not. So
true.
You know, and that goes for any ownership group. Like, there's going to be hurdles, right? There's going to be learning curves. They're probably going to make some mistakes along the way. But yeah, I mean, you know, Glenn's one of my guys, right? But yeah. Like, it hadn't been working with Glenn, right? So, you know, I'm a believer that, you know, be careful what you wish for. But in this instance, you know, new ownership, new blood. Like, I don't know how it could get worse, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So yeah, right. I'm on the Alex and Mark, you know, bandwagon, you know, curious to see what they can do. But I'm just telling you, like, I still want to see that pathway to them going from, you know, $250 million to $750 million. This last $500 million in just over 2 years, like where exactly is that money coming from?
Exactly. And you know, and we're going to figure that out over time. That's why I've been saying from the beginning, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a slow build. We're about getting to the time where, you know, Mark and Alex are going to go on the record starting to say things like, we'll see. It's all coming. And that's, I know it's been a quiet week in Timberwolves world, but, you know, stuff is going to start happening, obviously, with Summer League and the lead up to next season. And, you know, we'll see. There's still the Timberwolves. The fan base, as frustrated as they might be, will still be here to see whatever does play out with this.
And there will be something, Dane. I can't tell you when, but there's going to be more to talk about, right?
Yeah.
Not just Summer League. I mean, I know, like, you know, Jaden McDaniels is doing something for those of us that want to hop on it, you know, mm-hmm. 5 o'clock this afternoon, you know, if we want to hop on and talk to Jaden, and they'll make some other guys available the next few days leading into
the Jaden hype train. The Jaden hype train is about to get hot. From the Wolves' perspective, they're going to be like, Jaden,
I don't know what
Jaden.
You heard. Yeah. You know, it does sound like if the Wolves wanted to acquire a first-round pick last Thursday, and a pretty high first-round pick, I'm not talking in the 20s, like if they wanted to move Jaden for a pick, you know, late lottery in the teens, like they could have, you know, but they weren't interested in doing that.
Well, shit, think if you're Golden State, you trade seven for I think you trade seven for Jaden McDaniels in a – because McDaniels could play in that rotation next
year. In a heartbeat.
Like that's a no-brainer there.
Yeah, and well, I mean, if you were the Wolves, as much as, you know, you like Kuminga and I like Kuminga, I would not trade Jaden McDaniels right this second for Jonathan Kuminga. I would still bet on Jaden McDaniels. So, you know, that goes back to, you know, you don't just do something for the sake of doing something, that at least Gerson can, you know, have some resistance, even though he wants to be uber aggressive. You know, he can hold himself back to some extent.
Well, Doogie, I appreciate you giving me some time, a little bit more than I asked for. I hope Keaton
all good.
I
don't have anything else going until I go to the office here in a few hours. Hopefully the dog in the background wasn't too loud.
No, nah, I'll be all right.
He's barking for his daily walk. So yeah, I'm gonna go out on a nice walk. So yeah, maybe the Wolves do something as I'm navigating the General Mills Nature Area Trail.
All right, man. Well, we'll be in touch. I'll text you when I'm at Summer League or something. And I appreciate you doing this for real.
Yeah, safe travels, Dane, to Vegas. I won't be out there with the Broncos coming to town next week for those joint practices with the Vikings. You know, that ramps up on my end, but I'll certainly be following your coverage. So I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks, man. He is Darren Wolfson at D Wolfson KSTP, right? That's your Twitter handle?
At D Wolfson KSTP. I used to be at Darren Wolfson, and then some of the Channel 5 management back in the day got mad at me for not having our call letters in the handle, and turned into one of those battles, and I've left it. They made me change it. I couldn't win that fight. Pick your fights. I tried to pick that fight. There's many fights I don't pick, but I picked that one, but I didn't win it. So yeah, anyway, they forced my Twitter handle to change with the call letters, and I've left it that way ever since.
Well, Doogie, I know not just for me, but for the whole fan base, your coverage, your nuggets are an integral part of this whole hypothetical Timberwolves world where we're talking about the offseason. So it's a perfect time to have you on. I appreciate you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, take it easy, Dan.
Until tomorrow, I'll be on with Britt, I think, and I will talk to y'all then. Until then, I'm Dane. Peace out. How I'm feeling, man, I hope it never stop, yeah. Green and hot so you can find me in the crowd, yeah, yeah. Don't let standards ever bring you down, yeah. Hope you dancing like nobody else. Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.